Amen. Our lessons today began with Psalm 23. This is one of the most memorable psalms in the Bible. The still waters are an image of peace and serenity for the people of God. Like a gentle shepherd who leads lambs to fresh water to drink and to green pastures in which to lie down. God always sustains, refreshes, and nourishes his people. We then went to the Old Testament lesson from Genesis 7. The flood was devastating to all the life of the entire ancient world. All life not on board the ark was drowned. The water corresponds to baptism, which St. Peter says now saves you. The epistle lesson was from 1 Peter. Jesus Christ suffered death for all sin once for all. By putting sin to death, he made you alive by the Holy Spirit. By baptismal water, you are safely brought to God's shore. You have a clean conscience through Christ's resurrection from the dead. A reminder that you, the people of God, remain afloat above the sin and death of the entire world. Sin and death of the entire world. It's interesting that we come and we worship today in what we call a nave. This is a nave or a ship. Nave is the derivative root for navy and is an illustration for us of being saved from the sinful world in the ship or ark of Christ's church. Our gospel lesson from John 3. Jesus instructs Nicodemus that all people have a fleshly birth, but not all have a spiritual birth. To be spiritually born, one must be born of water and the Spirit. To be born of water and the Spirit provides access to the kingdom of heaven. A man does not need to be physically reborn in his mother's womb. Instead, he is born of the Holy Spirit in holy baptism. And our theme this week, water gives you life. We open our meditation in prayer. Father, help us now as we meditate on your word. Speak to each of us through your Holy Spirit that we might understand, believe, and live in the light of your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Next to the air we breathe, water is the primary element in God's creation. Without fresh water, your body cannot be sustained. Water comes in all shapes and all sizes, depending on its use and the temperature. When water is frozen, it's solid. We put ice in our beverages. Snow falls on the mountains. When water is above freezing, it's a liquid. We drink it, shower in it, bathe with it, and wash our clothes and wash our dishes with it. And when water is heated, it becomes a gas. Water is everywhere in our lives. Water is also powerful and destructive. At creation, God separated the waters above from the waters below to make land before he made Adam and Eve. Then God told Noah that he would flood the entire earth until the highest mountain was 20 feet below the surface of the water. God destroyed all because of the wickedness of man. But he made a covenant of promise to save Noah and his family. After Moses and all the people of Israel crossed with unmoistened foot, God delivered a deadly blow to Egypt's army. The wall of the Red Sea literally slammed shut, crushing and drowning the entire Egyptian army. Water circulates often in the scriptures in large and small ways. Sometimes there is flooding, washing, watering, healing, refreshing, cleansing, and reshaping. Under Joshua, God led Israel into the promised land when he parted the Jordan River. Then in the days of the kings, Elisha healed Naaman. Assyrian army commander from leprosy by asking him to dip and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. When Israel was thirsty, Moses sweetened the bitter waters of Marah and made water flow from a hard rock. God always refreshes his people. As the psalmist prays, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Isaiah even invited God's people to be refreshed. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, buy wine, milk, without money and without price. In the New Testament, Jesus, our Savior and Helper, launched his ministry in water at his baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Just as Israel had crossed it a long, long time ago under the hand and helper, just as Israel had crossed it long ago under the hand of their helper and Savior Joshua to enter the Promised Land, so Jesus enters the Jordan to baptize you and to give you Promised Land of heaven. Even though Naaman, the Gentile leader, balked at Elisha's word for healing, he eventually dipped himself into that same cleansing Jordan River 7 times. He saw his leprosy evaporate. Dear friend, Jesus still washes all your sins away today in the waters of your baptism. And Jesus gives you the promised land of heaven. Although Jesus had no sin, he immersed himself in sin to fulfill in human flesh all that Israel and we never could. It's no accident that water is splashed everywhere in Jesus' ministry. His first miracle, Jesus turns water into wine to refresh wedding guests. Jesus lovingly encourages Nicodemus to be born of water and the Spirit. But to the utter astonishment of the people in his day, Jesus also offers living water to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. When Jesus sees the lame, he heals a paralyzed man who had been waiting 38 years to get into the pool of Bethesda. Jesus, remembering how God gave the Israelites water in the wilderness, says to the crowd at the Feast of Tabernacles, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Jesus also walks on water. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Jesus allows water and blood to pour forth from his side as he hangs on the cross. Is all this water simply accidental or coincidence? Maybe it's a coincidence. Absolutely not. It's reasonable and rhythmic. Water is woven throughout the Bible, pointing you to Jesus, even though not every passage is directly about baptism. St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, "Our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Even in our reading earlier this evening, St. Peter states that just as God saved Noah and his family by water, so your baptism now saves you. Your Heavenly Father reshapes, rewashes you every day with baptismal water, like a piece of moistened clay. He is transforming you. He is conforming you into the image of his Son. Before the scriptures were ever fully recorded for all God's people to see and read, the early church fathers used physical water to teach the Bible, baptism, and faith in Christ. You were invited today, this evening, to pass the baptismal font, dip your hand in the water, and place the sign of the cross to remind you again that this water always refreshes, washes, and forgives. This is where you were born once, and where you are joyfully reborn every day. Jesus is your vine who grafted you onto himself and his church by water. In him you live, move, and have your being. The imagery in Psalm 139, just as your mother's womb so beautifully protected you in water when God knitted you together, the Holy Spirit protects you in the womb of your new mother, the Holy Church. If you were to ask a potter how he makes a beautiful pottery vase, he would tell you it is the water that makes clay moldable before it's fired in the oven. Similarly, your potter, the Heavenly Father, works in you by the Holy Spirit each day to reshape your life into the image of his Son. Your old Adam is drowned so that your new you is reshaped. In the Small Catechism, Dr. Martin Luther said, "The old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man or woman should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever." Just as the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters of creation to bring life, so too he fills you with new life in Jesus. Now, today, every day. This is what Lent is all about. Drowning an old you so that a new joyful you arises each morning. During Lent, the church is dark and full of purple, reminding us of Christ's passion, death, and tomb. But we will not stay here. We will arise new from our tomb this Easter. What needs to be drowned in you today? What is it that maybe affects your marriage, your family, or relationships? Are you more like moldable clay to be reshaped by water? Or like hard pottery needed to be crushed? Jesus Christ was crucified with all of it. Your sin was nailed on his cross. His blood was shed for you, and he was buried with your sins too. Jesus Christ, your vine, your rock, your shepherd, died so that you live in sin no longer. Go, wash anew today, forgiven of all your sins. Fix your eyes on Jesus and be refreshed by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.